Good morning, boys and girls, and the world at large. Yes, it is he, him, the other one.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, I've been a political junkie here the last few days. I'd take some time off. I was just getting a little burnt out. I'd walk from one room to the next and not remember why I left the other room or what I was doing in that one.
So you think you're a little burned out?
And then tooth abscessed up on me, you know? God, I hate that. You know, because it always goes from your jaw up to your ear, and then it goes up into your temple, and I mean, the infection goes all over the place, and it just makes life miserable. So anyway, outside of miserable body parts and being an embarrassingly political junkie, and Terry and I were talking about it, and we said that she was saying, well, it's because we're old. And I said, no, it's because we've actually worked a whole life to achieve something, and now we have something to lose. And, you know, with young people, it's about looking towards your future, but you're always so busy trying to, you know,
grab that carrot.
Yeah, you know, get in there and work at it and do all this. It's really hard to take time to look around. But, you know, once you're there, you're kind of wondering, okay, what's going to happen over the next 10 or 15 years? What do I have to react to? I think that's the difference between the younger people and the older people is younger people are always looking like, okay, this is what I'm doing, but they're not worried about 10, 20 years down the road or what's going to happen here or there. And I think as you get older, you do. So this whole, the whole political thing has just been fascinating. I mean, it is the, it's the best show on TV. I mean, it's better than NCIS. I'm telling you, it's just staggering. Listen to one person say something. Everybody, when they hear, everybody hears the exact same sentence and they all think it means something different. Mm-hmm. Every one of them.
Yeah.
The sky is blue. Well, the reactions on all that is it's hilarious. It's fascinating. How does anything get done in this country?
I just think it's funny that they actually pay these people to tear apart a conversation, and it takes 4 hours to discuss what was said in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, of course, this is supposed to be a fishing show, and we've talked about teeth infections and being tired and being a political junkie, which I've never been in my life. I've voted almost every time there was an election for things to vote for, because I think you should, but to actually get that involved, but it's fascinating. So anyway, speaking of being older and younger, and we want to go over something right now. Guy went missing, and I've
yesterday afternoon he went fishing at about 2 o'clock. His wife talked to him at 5 o'clock, and then she tried to get a hold of him again back at 7 and could not reach him. Wasn't sure if his phone died or he just didn't answer for some unknown reason. And then by 10 o'clock when he didn't show up, she called in the Coast Guard or police or whoever, whatever the entities are that go looking for people.
And one thing this time of year is especially dangerous to be fishing by yourself.
Yes.
On normal parts of the year, it's never a good idea to go out in a boat by yourself. I mean, it is one of the things I love, just to go out and look around and do a little bit of fishing and relax by myself. But there's a few rules that I've learned to abide by. Fishing by myself was one. You really, if you're by yourself, having a life jacket, and I have one of those inflatable ones, you know, that you pull
it. Yeah, the suspender style.
Yeah, or the waist belt one, because I don't want to wear a life jacket. It's too hot. But putting one of those on, if you're going to go fishing by yourself, is not a bad idea. And flatten the barbs in your hooks. That's kind of a big...
You're missing one other one.
If I'm using anything more than a single hook, and, you know, fishing for snook and redfish or whatever, if it's just a regular hook with a bait on it, I don't mess with the barb on it. But all my lures, if I'm fishing by myself especially, I get rid of the barbs because I don't want to be attached to a fish. It's really hard to drive back with one hand and the other hand stuck between you and in a fish. And it, what happens if it's an undersized or oversized fish?
All right.
Then you not only have the pain in the hospital and all that, but you, now you can get a, literally get a ticket for having an undersized fish,
right,
or oversized fish, you know?
Exactly.
What's the other one I'm missing?
Always wear your kill switch.
Always wear your kill switch when you're driving.
Whether you have people on the boat or not, but that's so overlooked, but especially by yourself. Nobody, so many people don't wear that.
Yeah, I'm guilty. I very seldom put my kill switch on, and it's such a simple thing, and it's a really good idea. But this time of year, I would have to say, is a lot more about not fishing by yourself because of what you could catch.
Yeah.
The possible catch right now could be 200 pounds or more or less or whatever, and there's so many things to go wrong with that.
Right.
And, you know, because we all know, you know, you fight the fish and bring them up next to the boat, but what if you have a 6-foot fish that when you go reaching over the side of the boat to grab that fish lunges up at you, which happens quite often.
Absolutely.
This is not like an uncommon occurrence, but
no.
99% of the time you just kind of dodge out of the way, but that fish will literally, you know, you're holding it almost vertical in the water, straight up and down,
right,
and then it gives that big tail kick and it propels it straight up out of the water. It's not trying to attack you, but it amounts to the same thing.
Yeah,
you're going to get a face full of tarpon, or maybe a face full of shark, or Goliath grouper,
or cobia.
There's so many big fish right now. A 90-pound cobia smacking you right in the forehead is going to knock you dizzy.
Even a 30-pound cobia will knock you dizzy.
Yeah.
Look what it does to the inside of a boat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and tarpon's the same way. I mean, mm-hmm. There's nothing exceptionally dangerous about it, except if you're by yourself, you don't have a life jacket on, you know, these type of things. And let's say you were using a lure and got the hooks, the front hooks in you and the back hooks in the fish. And then all of a sudden, a 100-pound fish gives a jerk and you're in the water.
Right.
These are all things we don't want to talk about because fishing is supposed to be fun and relaxing and all this. But every once in a while, you know, my heart really goes out to this woman, you know. And what we're trying to do is make sure that people understand this is a particularly dangerous time of the year to go fishing by yourself.
Right.
And if you get a big fish up to the boat and you're the only one on the boat, there's a lot of things could happen. And your odds of getting that big fish, 100, 200 pounds, really good.
Right.
Really, really good.
Right.
I mean,
it's a cool accomplishment. I get it from a male's perspective. You know, that testosterone kind of thing gets in the way, and you just want to do it to say you did it. I understand
right.
that.
You want to be Donald Trump on the water. You want to go out and do it because you can do it.
Right. You know, but you know, if you're targeting snook and redfish, you know, those are a little more subdued and a little bit shallower water, you know.
But I still advocate
absolutely
anything besides a single hook, whether it's J or circle, if you've got a lure on and you're going to fish by yourself, pinch the barbs.
Absolutely. You know, just use a lot more common sense this time of year. You know, you use a lot more.
I don't think
more.
It's common sense. I actually don't agree with the term common sense on this because it's acquired knowledge. If you're from, say, the Midwest, and, you know, they've got some monster fish there. I mean, there's some sturgeon and that. What's that, paddlefish?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have some big fish in the Midwest and big salmon and all these other things. But they're not 100-pound plus leaping, jumping, you know, 30-mile-an-hour fish.
Right.
They're big fish, but they're a little more subdued. Every once in a while, you hear of a sturgeon come up and knock somebody out of the boat. But that's on a free jump, right?
Right, usually, yes.
So if you're not used to fighting a big fish and you're not used to that, you don't have common sense because you've never had any experience like that. And it's one of the reasons people come here. But there is an acquired knowledge thing you have to go through.
Acquired knowledge, but I mean, like you're talking about with the life jacket on, you know, the kill switch, those are common sense things and also acquired knowledge. If you're a boater,
okay,
you should have that.
I'm going to say common sense, which leaves me out of the mix, okay, because, you know, I'm still, you know, I grew up in the era where you couldn't wait to have hair on your chest.
Right.
You know, you wanted to be a man. You wanted to go off on your own and, you know, oh, man. And, you know, the younger people, they shave their hair off, want to be 12 as long as they can possibly be. But me and a lot of the people that come here, we grew up in that manly man type stuff. I'm going to be a man, you know, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to take care of my family, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to hunt and I'm going to fish and I can do it by myself. I don't need you. And I really don't wear a life jacket near as often as I should. I'm probably the one of the worst. So this is really a do what I say, not what I do thing, but I promise after today I will get better. I will do better at leading by example rather than just running my mouth, you know.
Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I really am. I'm going to make an effort to do that. But I do have some cool little toys, you know. But luckily, I own a tackle shop, and I did buy them wholesale because those stupid little inflatable vest things and the waist things, they're expensive.
All of them, yeah.
Big bucks. I mean, $100.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of money. But okay, it's $80, $90, $100, $135, whatever it is, or we're looking for you one day.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not as expensive as it sounds. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
So I guess I can suck it up and, you know, give up some of my machismo and say, okay, I need to put on a life jacket more often.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't mean to disagree. We don't want to call it common sense, but I think there's a lot of acquired knowledge in
it. Oh,
that.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to agree.
No. But I'm agreeing that there's both a little bit of both involved with this one.
Yeah. I mean, if you see a 150-pound fish like coming up next to the boat, you know, you're excited over there, but a little caution is required.
Sure. It's like somebody handing you a handgun. They tell you it's unloaded. Common sense tells you it's loaded. Acquired knowledge tells you it's loaded.
Acquired knowledge. If you know anything about guns, every gun is loaded, whether there's a bullet in or not, until you personally inspect it. Heck, half the time I'm sticking my finger in there to make sure there's nothing else possibly in there. Because I grew up with guns.
Right.
And I grew up hunting and fishing and doing all that stuff. Some of my fondest memories, you know, sitting somewhere and all of a sudden you have the flashback, is me and the golden retriever and the double barrel shotgun with the fishing pole down at the creek, you know. And so yeah, I get all that, and I think it was a better way to live, but it's also makes it more dangerous for us as we get older, or, you know, I guess whether you're 12 or, I mean, there's been young people and older people go up missing lately, so
sure.
I don't know if it's an age thing or just a weird thing, but anyway, we've already talked too long about all this. What
right.
else in fishing wise is going on besides being safety out there in the boats?
It's going starting to go nuts all the way around. I mean,
this is our busiest time of the year. May and June.
It's the busiest fishing time of the year just because of the variety of species, too.
Oh, yeah. This is the craziest time of year down here to be in Florida. May and June are the two peak months of the fishing industry. It's when everything happens. We love our snowbirds. We love our resident people. But there are snowbirds who come back for this time of year. There are tourists who come. There are locals who fish. This is the...
It's the angling mecca this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's anybody.
You don't have to like tarpon. You can like snook and go after them. You pick the species.
You got snook on the spawn right now out on the beach. Is big snook, 40, 50-inch snook out there. You've got sharks in the harbor from 2 foot to, literally I've heard reports
12
of
foot.
12 foot, I think, is the biggest. But I think the one guy was being pretty conservative. It was probably closer to 14. So you got 2 to 14 foot sharks. You got cobia that are from about 5 pounds to 100 pounds. And Goliath grouper from little ones up to 400 to 600 pounds. There's just such a broad spectrum of fish. And what's up with the triple tail? Is this normal? Am I going out of my mind?
This is pretty normal. The biggest problem is that I think it's been...
So it's true. I've lost my mind. This is affirmation that, yes, Frank, you're completely gone.
No,
the radiation treatments have degraded your brain to the point that it no longer works.
No, it's not lost. They had the radiation treatment, so it proves that your brain's a little shot out sometimes, but the brain is still there.
Yep.
I think the biggest thing is with the triple tail is every year for about the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen a little bit more of an increase. And I think we just happen to be at one of those top cycles of them. Plus, we've added more mooring fields in the upper end of the harbor.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever associated Triple Tail with our kind of, because you and I both talk a lot about our three-year cycle, four-year right. cycle on fish, because when there gets to, you have a point where you don't catch many that year, and the fishing isn't really good for them, so people don't go out and target them, so they have that year, and then those kind of spawn, because not many people are targeting them, and so you have an influx of babies. Then the next year, they aren't really, you know, big enough to do anything with. So right. then the following year, there's even more, and you have that big banner year, and then it kind of knocks them back to right. the slow time and the build-up time, and then the banner year. And it seems to kind of work like that. About every, you know, 3 years, we have these mega cycles on fish, where sheephead, trout, snook, redfish. The red fishing's really slow this year, but I'm almost certain 2 years ago we had that bad fall red tide.
Yes.
And that fall red tide is what caused the 2 years ago the fishing not to be very good for redfish, because we had a lot of big adult redfish killed off the coast.
Oh, thousands.
Right when they were coming here to spawn. Very bad timing on the red tide and the spawn altogether. And I'm pretty well convinced that's why things are like this. But I don't remember one last... Did we have one this last fall?
A real minor one, but it didn't kill anything major offshore.
So
it was super, super minuscule. They had a few dead fish that washed up in Sarasota, but there was not the thousands of adults.
Yeah.
No.
So we've got another year or two to go before we're going to have really spectacular red fishing again, and providing nature and humans all kind of don't get in the way of all that.
Right. I think the thing with the triple tail, going back to that, is that a lot of people are just kind of starting to actually take the time to challenge themselves and target them more, so you're hearing more and people generating interest into it.
Actually, the people I've talked to have just seen massive numbers of triple tail, more than they've ever seen in this area.
When they first put out the stone crab pots this past fall, there was more triple tail out there than anyone had ever seen in a long time, but they were all little guys. They were all 10 to 12 inchers.
Yeah, and now, you know, I'm hearing stories of 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 pounders.
Right. It seems like the bigger ones come inside, and little ones have stayed kind of offshore where everyone can really physically see them.
Yeah, it's just been crazier.
Maybe it's the rain. Maybe it was like this in 98, too, and we just don't remember.
Yeah, well, I'm swimming charters back then, and, you know, I have these pictures of all these 28 and 30-inch triple tail and these big, huge, massive fish and all that. And my customers used to get such a kick out of that, because I had a few spots I would go stop and just give a shot for them. And so often we would hook up with these fish, and it was just literally an amazing event.
What waterway comes out of Cape Canaveral area? Is that Mosquito Lagoon?
That's Mosquito Lagoon. So that's the Banana River and the Tomoka.
Halifax?
Could be.
Something.
Yeah, I should know. I worked on that.
I know,
river.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Well, and it, you know, some of the biggest triple tail in the world come from that particular little area. And then there's also a ton of nice triple tail that are always caught down in Chokoleskee area. Those two areas get a fair amount of water deluge coming out of there, so maybe just the rainy season.
Well, they're both kind of inland, you know, same as Charlotte Harbor. You know.
Right, but maybe our rainy season this year maybe helped.
It could be. Who knows?
Just thoughts.
Good thought. Okay.
It's a theory. I'm running with it.
Hey, it's your theory. Stick to it. It sounds good. Nobody can disprove it. You know, be the weatherman.
Right.
It's going to rain. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's going to rain. Looks like it's going to be a great day. Okay. Getting back around, I really don't know. Is there anything else weird going on at the moment?
Not a whole lot. I mean, the permit kingfish are still around.
I heard the permit really moved in good on a lot of the wrecks.
Right.
I wonder why they prefer the wrecks over
natural bottoms
or natural bottom.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. They always seem to like, they always prefer artificial structure over natural reef bottom for some reason. And on this coast, you get down to the Keys and they'll hang out over both.
I wonder if it's the height.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
You know, because a
wreck,
relief, you know, a ship, a sunken ship or something, usually comes off the bottom quite a bit more than like what we would do with concrete or a natural mound. So maybe it's the height.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not really
my
sure about
theory,
that.
I'm sticking to it. My Swiss cheese brain says no one can dispute my logic.
Run with it.
Run with it. My theory, I'm stuck with it. All right, let's see. This is Fish and Frank here in the chair. That's Robert in the chair across me. Anything you want to add to this little segment before we go on to the fishing report?
Not too much. Be safe and have fun.
All right. Well, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with our fishing report and more radio fishing.